It is so fun to be with you guys on Monday night. I mean, like my heart every single time in this room is encouraged, and I'm so thankful just for the opportunity to worship with you guys. My name is Ryan Nixon, and I have new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, lust, and worshiping what people think about me. And this past weekend, a little bit of frustration and control over a third grade school project. Yeah, it's a little bit of my life. Well, friends, whether it's that or something completely different that brought you into this room tonight, and if whether this is your, 10th month or your first time, I just want to say welcome. Like, we're so glad that you have trusted us or trusted someone enough to show up tonight. And I just want you to know, like, the purpose of this ministry is to offer hope for those who are experiencing the brokenness of this world in their own lives, which is all of us. It's to offer us hope that change is possible because of what Christ has done. And I just love each and every week as we get to hear stories and we get to sing the truth of God, that we're reminded that that hope is there and it's there for all of us. So tonight we're starting a new series called Deja Vu. All right, and so deja vu is just this idea that there's like a feeling or a sense that something you are currently experiencing has already happened. It's kind of like, okay, you're sitting down with a friend, you're in a conversation, there's an interaction that happens, and it's like you think to yourself, hey, I feel like I've been here before. I feel like I've had this conversation before. And what I love about God and his word and just the story of redemption that he's given us, it's almost like he's placed moments of deja vu all throughout the scriptures. And really, as we look at Christ and just the story of Christ in the New Testament, like Christ says some things, he does some things. And if you know the Old Testament and the Jewish people knew the Old Testament, like there was this, had to be this sense with them. It was like, hey, I feel like I've seen this before. I feel like I've heard about this before. Like, and what's happening here? And the reason why God did that through Christ is that there was a hope that as the Jewish people and then us today saw the life of Christ, saw the things that he said, would think back to what happened through God, through his people, thousands of years before that. And it would point to the fact that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah and that he is the Messiah today that we can put our trust in. You know, see, the whole Bible is this redemption story. And as we think about the Old Testament, okay, you know, it's once been described that the Old Testament is Christ concealed and the New Testament is Christ revealed. That as we look at the Old Testament, there are stories and promises that point forward towards Jesus. And then the New Testament, as we read that, it's the revelation of Christ and also the explanation of who he is. And so not only do we see these deja vu moments kind of in scripture, but I feel like we see them as we read God's word in our own lives. And so as we think about this series of deja vu, the kind of the phrase that came to our minds was redemption on repeat. And we're just going to look at some of these stories of redemption and see what God is doing. And there's no better place than to start right at the beginning because God started to give us glimpses of Christ, glimpses of deja vu from the beginning. And so in Genesis 1, you know, we see in the beginning, like there's a story of God creating everything we see out of nothing. And so there was 6 days in creation, and on that sixth day, there was the pinnacle of his creation, which was mankind. It was these people that would be image bearers of God. And then from there in Genesis 2, we kind of zoom in on this story of man and woman being created. And as we see kind of just this care that God took into creating man and woman, like he gave them this perfect paradise, like where they needed nothing, like everything was supplied for them and they were to rule and have dominion over all of it. And then he looked at them and he said, hey, okay, there's only one rule. Like all of this is yours, but just don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else is yours, just don't eat of that tree. And this is where we're going to jump into the text. So we're going to jump into Genesis chapter 3 and see what happened from there. It says, now the serpent, which is Satan, was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was able to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And as we look at this text, one of the things that just like jumped out to me is just this progression of sin that is described there that honestly is a deja vu moment for me over these last 40 plus years. And I just want us to kind of spend some time just like looking at this text and the progression that we see here. First, we kind of look at the text again and it kind of says, hey, the woman saw, okay, that the tree was good. So we see something and then the desire comes into place. There was desire because there was delight to the eyes, desire to make one wise. And she didn't just stop right there. She took of it. She took of its fruit and then she consumed it and ate. And then she went from there and it just wasn't enough for herself. She shared it with her husband who was there right with her. And then shame was induced to Adam and Eve. I love what it says in the NLT. It says, they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. And then after shame was induced, what did they do? Did they run to God and kind of say, hey, God, like we screwed up? No, they hid. They hid from the presence of the Lord. And not only did they hide from the presence of the Lord, when God in his compassion and kindness came looking for them and said, hey, what happened? They didn't take ownership of what they did. They pointed the finger at someone else. They shifted blame. Said, it was the woman that you gave me. She gave it to me. The woman said, it was the serpent. He's the one who made me eat. And guys, I just want you to know, like, this progression, as we look at it from top to bottom, is what happened there. They see, and then the desire takes place. We take, we consume, we share it with others sometime. Shame is induced into our lives. We try to hide because of that shame and that guilt. And then when we are approached about what we've done, we typically shift the blame to someone else. And I just want you to know that this sin in our lives and in the lives of people we see throughout Scripture, it's never manageable. It never stays small. Like it always continues until it leads to death, sometimes even physical death. And that's what we see in James chapter 1. It says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And we see that happen like right there in the beginning. Like Genesis 3 leads to Genesis 4. All right, that's what happens, okay? But in Genesis 4, what happens in that text is we see that two of God's children, Cain and Abel, you know, they're having kind of some conversation with one another, and Cain is jealous of Abel. And where does that jealousy lead? It leads to a place to where he goes and kills his brother Abel. And then as we look throughout the rest of Genesis, like it continues to get worse and worse and worse. And there's this chaos and destruction because of sin and selfishness. And as men and women do not run back to a God who loves them and who created them, but try to find life apart from him, it always continues to devolve to more and more destruction. I love this quote. It says, sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. Has anyone in this room felt that? I know I have. I know I have. And as I think about that quote and as I think about the text that we just looked through, I was like, man, that is my life. Like that progression of sin is my life. And it doesn't just start with ourselves. Like as we look, like there was a serpent, there was Satan. And the serpent that lied to Adam and Eve is the same serpent that lies to you and me. And he's always questioning God's goodness. He's questioning the truth of God's word, or he takes God's word and he twists it. And then he causes you to question the warnings of Scripture, that the consequences aren't going to be that bad. And so this is a lie that I believed, and this is just a progression of my sin and my story. Like early on, like I was introduced to pornography as a young kid. And then that scene that kind of sparked desire, a lust in my life to want what was there that was not mine. And so I took it and I consumed it. I consumed it once, and then that turned into a progression of over 2 decades of an addiction of lust, pornography, and masturbation. And that led me into just other sin, just with inappropriate relationships. And that's how I probably shared some of that sin with others. And then every single moment that led me to a place, because I was a believer before I was introduced to pornography. And I think even as a non-believer, there's a hint of the Holy Spirit leaning in your life that induces many times a godly sorrow, a godly shame. But for me, that shame just kind of began to spiral into a shame that just continued to lead me towards a place of hiding. And so that's what I did. I spent years not telling a soul, but I would beg God every single night after making a poor decision to take that away from me. But I was not willing to invite someone else in to my story. And I'd even say something like, hey, this is just something that all guys struggle with. What's the big deal? Or how can I not? Like, these temptations, the idea of lust is everywhere around me. How am I going to escape it? And it's the same for all of us, whatever your story is. Like, if it's anger and maybe control, like someone hurts you, they wound you, and so you desire justice. You desire to make things right. And so it's like, okay, I'm going to make sure that if you hurt me through my anger, I'm going to make sure that you never wound me again. And so I'm going to lash out against you. Or maybe it's envy. Maybe you see something that someone else has. You know, it's a new iPhone, it's a car, it's a house, it's a fill in the blank, and you want that. And so what do? You kind of try to manipulate, you try to kind of figure out your way so that you can have that thing too. You get it, you consume it, and then at the end of the day, it just leaves you wanting. It doesn't end up satisfying you. And so the story that Adam and Eve experienced is the same story that all of us have experienced. But what I love about God is that he doesn't leave us there, and he didn't leave Adam and Eve there either. So we continue in Genesis chapter 3, and we see this beautiful promise that at the onset of when the fall happened and humankind just began this path of destruction and chaos, God met them right at that very moment with a promise. He met them with the promise of redemption. And this is the first deja vu moment that Christ fulfills later on. And here's the promise that God gave to the snake, that God gave to Satan, the one who deceived Adam and Eve and ushered sin into our lives. This is what it says. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. You see, right at the very beginning of this selfishness, sin, and destruction, at that very moment, God came and communicated like, hey, I'm going to provide a way for you. I'm going to start this grand plan of redemption that is going to last thousands and thousands of years. And the cards are going to be stacked against me. But one day, I want you to know, there will be a seed, an offspring that will come from woman, and not just woman, but a woman, a virgin, and she will give birth to a child, and that child will be the God-man. He will be the long-awaited Messiah, and he's going to live a perfect life, a life that you could never live, a life that I could never live, and then he's going to go and experience that pain that the serpent's going to inflict on him. You see, Satan did inflict pain on Christ. Like when Christ was beaten, mocked, flogged, nailed to a cross, Satan struck Christ with a really painful blow, just like it was promised. But when Christ in his perfection, this innocent man, the God-man, died on the cross, he crushed Satan on the head for you and for me. Because at that moment, a world-altering exchange happened, which is just such a beautiful thing for everybody who believes in Christ. Like, this is what happened to you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. God says, hey, he, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf so that we could receive the righteousness of God. The way that Christ defeated Satan is that in him giving of himself for us, when he died, he took on our sin. So like everything that you've ever done, everything that I've ever done, like Christ took all of that upon himself and he became sin on our behalf so that we could receive his righteousness. And like this is really, it's the greatest news that we could ever experience. Like it's no matter what you walked in here with, like whether your story is a 20-year addiction to pornography, or it's anger, or it's drugs, or it's alcohol, or it's people pleasing, or maybe you were betrayed by someone you loved, or maybe you were the betrayer. Maybe you're the one who broke trust, or you're the one whose trust was broken too. Like when Christ died on the cross, he took all of that, and he provided a way for us to experience redemption in our own lives. And it's this one story of redemption that allows for thousands and thousands of other stories of redemption to be experienced. And I just want you to know, like, that's why we're here on Monday nights. Like, that's why we're here in this room, is to be reminded of these stories of redemption, these stories of hope. And this is why we spend a year just walking through the scriptures, walking through God's truth, so that we can understand God's story of redemption and begin to apply that story of redemption in our own lives. And so I just want you to know, like, if you're here for the first time, like, and you've experienced the brokenness of this world, whether it's because of your own actions or maybe something that's happened to you, there's healing and hope here, not because of Regen, but because of Jesus. And we come here just to offer what Christ has offered each one of us. And one of the things I love just about this idea, even of this idea of this series of deja vu and these stories of redemption, redemption on repeat, I mean, is that every Monday night, there's a story of redemption. And we get to hear someone come and share about what God has done, how he has redeemed the brokenness in their life. And tonight is no different. And so I'm so excited for all of us to get to hear Shannon's story as she comes and shares about God's story of redemption in her life. So please welcome to the stage, Shannon. Come on up here.